Thanks, everybody. It's my pleasure to talk to you today about the work we've done and our preliminary findings on the role of same and different sex partners as sources of repeat chlamydia infections. So we know from a pretty fairly large body of research that the burden of repeat chlamydia infections is quite high. And this slide just shows a summary of some of the key studies that have been done looking at repeat chlamydia infections. There's a lot on the slide. I won't go through everything, but I'll just point out, for example, among young women seeking health care in five U.S. cities, if you follow women who have chlamydia, 4 months later, 7% of them will have chlamydia again. Among men and women in Seattle, Washington, about 13% of people with chlamydia will be reinfected again in 19 weeks, and kind of so on and so on. If you follow people long enough, as we've done in Connecticut, down here at the bottom, if you follow young women for a long enough period of time, in our case it was up to about 4.7 years, over half of them will get chlamydia again. So I think it's clear from these studies and from many others that the burden of repeat chlamydia infections is quite high. What we don't know, in my mind, is where is this repeat chlamydia coming from? What are the sources of these repeat infections? So I have a picture here that will kind of walk you through how we've conceptualized different potential sources of repeat chlamydia infections. So here's a woman who has an STI. In our case, it's chlamydia. If she has chlamydia, then there's a partner. There's someone else who has chlamydia. She's diagnosed, treated, she's negative. You follow her over time. She's either going to remain uninfected or get chlamydia again. And again, we know this happens a lot. The question is, where is that chlamydia coming from? So we've conceptualized three different possible sources of repeat infections. The first could be, I'm sorry, that's kind of small writing. The first potential source could be an inadequately treated but same-sex partner. So if she gets treated, but this guy doesn't, he can reinfect her. Another potential source is that the same partner who was the source of the infection or a contact to her and subsequently infected, if he gets treated, that's good, but if he has other sex partners, then there can be a new infection introduced into the partnership that in turn reinfects our original patient. The third possible source is her own different partners. She may or may not continue her relationship with this gentleman, but if she has a new partner, that could be a source as well. What we don't know, what hasn't been empirically evaluated, is what is the relative contribution of these different sources to repeat infections in young women. A lot of previous research has speculated about this. A lot of the studies I showed in the first slide often report in their discussion sections that inadequate partner treatment may be the major source of repeat infections. So these articles that look at this will say things in discussion, things like, our findings suggest the reinfection, the bold is mine, suggest the reinfection may be predominantly a result of sexual contact with untreated or inadequately treated partners. Other people say the same thing. Our findings suggest that infection resulted from reinfection from untreated sex partners and so on and so on. But again, the point I want to make is this has never been empirically evaluated or quantitatively measured, where the repeats are coming from. Really quickly, why this is important, I'm sure it's obvious to everybody in the room that different sources of repeat infections have different implications for prevention. So if untreated partners are the major source of repeat infections, then we need to be doing a better job with alternative partner treatment strategies. There's a lot of very exciting work going on in that area. But if the repeat infections are coming from non-monogamous partners, then we need to perhaps be doing a better job around risk reduction counseling regarding sex partner selection and perception of risk in sex partnerships. If the repeat infections are coming from her own other partners, then we need to do a better job talking about multiple partners, numbers of partners, and concurrency in partnerships. So with this background, the objective of the study I want to share with you today, we call this the Behavioral and Molecular Epidemiology of Repeat Infections, or the BMERI study. The objective is to determine sources and predictors of repeat chlamydia infections. And we have two hypotheses. Our first hypothesis is that sources of repeat infections are more equally distributed among the range of possible sources, I showed you three, than currently recognized. And the reason why I think that is I am not a clinician, but I talk to clinicians, and they talk a lot about the messy networks of these patients. They talk about interviewing people about their sex partners, and there's always another sex partner. So there's this idea that there's a lot of other partners out there that we need to be thinking about as sources of repeat infections. We also hypothesize that doing molecular genotyping of the chlamydia bacteria will increase our ability to differentiate between these sources of repeat infections, and you'll see what I mean by that in just a moment. So the methods for the study that we've been working on for the past 3 years, it's a cohort study. We're recruiting young women, or women age 15 and older, who have chlamydia from reproductive health centers in Connecticut. We're following them for 4 months, and at the four-month visit, testing them for repeat chlamydia. For data collection, we're doing an interview. We're using a computer. This is a structured survey with both open and closed-ended questions. It takes the girls about an hour to complete. We're asking all the usual suspects around demographics, sexual histories, sexual behaviors. And then we're asking a series of partner modules for up to 3 sex partners that they've had in the past 3 months. We're asking a series of repeated questions to get partner-level information. So the genotyping that I mentioned. So very quickly, the chlamydia bacteria is divided into 18 different genotypes, and this is based on the major outer membrane protein encoded by the OMP1 gene. Of these 18 genotypes, 10 cause urogenital chlamydia, and those are how they're classified by the letters D through K. So we're operating under the assumption that a different genotype, having a different genotype at the initial and the repeat infection would indicate a new source of infection. This could not be that her partner didn't get adequately treated and he reinfected her, because that would be the same genotype. So to do the genotyping, we collect urine or self-obtained vaginal swabs. We isolate the genomic DNA. We amplify the gene using PCR. We send it for sequencing, enter the sequence into the NIH database, and we can classify women according to their genotype. So results. Through October of 2007, we had enrolled 191 women in the study. The mean age was 20 years. This is an ethnically diverse sample. 57% of the women are black, 22% Latina, 14% white, 7% other. The mean age of first intercourse was 15.5 years. Median number of lifetime sex partners was 5. A third of the women reported multiple sex partners in the past 6 months, and 41% had a previous STI. So these are young women, ethnically diverse, and clearly at risk for STI. So this is just to show you the good news around the genotyping, is that we do have diversity in the genotypes for the chlamydia bacteria in this sample. This type of work had never been done in Connecticut before, and we certainly need to have some amount of diversity in the genotypes to be able to look at same and different genotypes at baseline and follow-up visits. And my colleague Melinda Pettigrew, molecular epidemiologist, does this work in her research lab at Yale. She presented this at ISSTDR last year. So I'm going to take a moment just to walk through the sample that we were able to look at in terms of repeat infection. So as I mentioned, we recruited 191 women through October. 36 women, or 21%, were lost to follow-up, and some of the women we recruited through October were not yet eligible for their follow-up visits. So we have 134 women with follow-up visits. 27 of these women, or 20%, had repeat chlamydia infection. So this is consistent with, if not a little on the high side, in terms of the frequency of repeat infection. So 20% of our women had repeat chlamydia. Of those 27 women, when we start to look at the genotyping information, 12 of the women in our sample had a negative baseline specimen. So in other words, they enrolled in our study after they had already been treated for chlamydia. So when we went to get the specimen that we could send for genotyping, we actually were not able to do that. So we were missing the genotyping information on 12 women because their baseline sample was negative. 4 women had a negative follow-up sample, and 4 women we didn't get a sample on. So of the 27 women with repeat chlamydia infections, we only had 7 women for whom we had baseline and follow-up genotype information. Down here. And so we compared the 7 women to the 20 women, and we didn't really find significant differences, but this is a small sample size. But qualitatively speaking, these 7 women weren't that much different from the 27. So this is my main result slide. What it shows is of the 7 women, so each line here represents one of the women, I'm showing the genotype they had at their baseline visit and the genotype they had at their follow-up. So for example, here's a woman who at baseline had a J genotype, and at follow-up she had E. Looking at her behavioral data, at baseline she had reported one sex partner, and at follow-up she reported continuing that relationship, and she also reported 3 new partners during the follow-up interval. So her possible sources of infection, thinking about the picture I showed you before, because she had the different genotype, it can't be source 1. Because she continued having sex with her baseline partner, but she also had new partners, her source of infection could be source 2 or source 3. So going back, here's another woman who had E genotype at baseline and J at follow-up. She had one sex partner at baseline, and she continued having sex with him, but she reported no new partners at follow-up. So her possible, and again, I say possible, because we can't say for certain, but her possible source would be source two. Different genotypes, so can't be source one. She didn't report any new partners, so can't be source three. So we're kind of left with this scenario as the possible scenario. Whoop, wrong way. So kind of so on and so on. What we found was that five of the seven women had a different genotype at their baseline and follow-up visits. One woman had the same genotype, and one woman had a mixed infection at baseline. So it's kind of hard to say. But using kind of that schema that I kind of walked you through, you can do that for each of these women, looking at their genotype and looking at what they said about their sex partners, and classify them according to possible sources. And what we come up with, depending, because we can't say for certain what's up with the girl with the mixed infection, either five out of these seven women or six of them had a different source of infection for her repeat diagnosis. It was not the same partner that didn't get treated, because at least five, if not six of these women had a different genotype at follow-up compared to baseline. So the limitations are probably clear to you. They are painfully obvious to me that we have lots of missing data, and we're working on that, but at this point, we have what we have. So we're left with a small sample of repeat infections. So at this point, I would say this is somewhat anecdotal, but we're working on it. So our conclusions thus far are perhaps that at least 70% of repeat infections may be from new sources, new different partners, either her other partners or his other partners. And I think that this is much higher than previously recognized. I think treating partners and partner treatment and expedited partner therapy is incredibly important, and we need to continue all the hard and excellent work going on in that area. That's good for partners, and it's good, hopefully, for reducing prevalence of disease in the community. But I think we also need to focus prevention efforts on the individuals. Increasing the rate at which we treat partners may not help as many of these young women with repeat infections. So I think we need to continue focusing prevention efforts on perception of risk in partnerships, young women who maybe don't know that their partners have other partners, initiating and maintaining condom use with new partners, and reducing concurrency in partnerships. So some of these old mainstay messages, I think we need to be sure they don't fall by the wayside. So coming back to the title of this symposium, you know, I think it takes two and sometimes more. I think in the case of repeat chlamydia infections in young women, more often than not, it's the sometimes more that's the problem. So these are my acknowledgments, and that's all. Thank you very much.
Four months.
And most of them are within 4 months. We would actually, we scheduled follow-up visits at 4 months, but we would see the women if they had a repeat infection within 12 months. I think that the median time was like 5.5 months at which we have our repeat infections. Right. Right. So we did not do a 1 month visit. It would have been helpful maybe to have a 1 month visit, like a test of cure type of thing, and to see what was going on there. But we weren't able to do that with the resources in this project. So you're right. Over a longer period of time, it is going to be more likely to find other partners as the source. But 4 months is still not that long of a period of time. It's not like we're talking about 12 months or 2 years. We do have data. We haven't looked at it yet again because this is quite new and preliminary, we do have information about actual dates of relationships. So we can look if she continued with if she discontinued at the 4-month visit, if she discontinued having sex with a partner from baseline, did she do that at the time of the diagnosis or 2 months later or 3 months later? We can do a better job of teasing out that. We just haven't done it yet, but we can.
Let's go into it.
Well, I want to be very careful and very clear on that message, as I think partner-delivered therapy is fantastic, and that's a hugely important public health prevention strategy for the partners, maybe for the community. But in terms of the repeat infections in the women, I don't know. I don't want to take away from that message at all, though. But
let's take one more question.
I'm a public health nurse, and one of the questions the clients ask is, could I have had this for more than 4 months? Could I have had it for 6 months? Could I have had it for a year? Because when we ask them in the last 3 months who were your partners, some of them are very confused about how could it be this partner when we've always used condoms and so forth. So I need to get a better idea of how long someone can actually carry the infection. Does it clear up on its own? Do you have symptoms eventually?
So that's an excellent point. The baseline infections that we're talking about in this study are prevalent infections. We don't know how new they are. We don't know how old they are. So they could have had these infections for quite some time. One of the things, we asked the question in our survey about, have you ever had chlamydia before, yes or no? So we know their history of having had chlamydia. One of the things we recently realized we needed to do is find out about their screening history. Not only have you had it before, but when was the last time you were tested and was that positive or negative, to try to get a handle on that interval. If she was tested 3 months ago and was negative, then we know it's a new infection. If she had never been tested, we have no idea. So we're currently going through the medical charts of these women to get at that information exactly for the point you make. It's a really good question. So we don't know that yet.
You can have the infection for a long period of time, especially
yes.
if you have never been tested for it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
You.
Thank you.